So I gave Chumash already. I spoke through that, right? So, okay, I feel about the intrepid from last week. That's what guys really want to hear about. So, Cholamoy Pesach had this chus to take my kids to the intrepid. So, I thought I would share with you two drushes that I gave over Shabbos Cholamoy about some of my experiences and my thoughts of what I felt the significance of going to the intrepid of Cholamoy Pesach was all about. It was cheaper than going to Six Flags, but that actually wasn't, but that's not where we went. Let me share a little bit. Two different drushes. So one of the fellows in the intrepid, one of the guys was showing us around. So he was describing how one of the launch to the moon or one of the other launches to space, whatever it was, when it landed. So the astronauts were supposed to get picked up by the intrepid. So remember that little kid used to watch this when they would splash down. Remember, splash down in the middle of the Pacific Ocean somewhere, and then these big boats would come and yank him out of the water. You know, the helicopters would yank him out of the water, bring him onto the boat, and shut. So he was describing one of these apparent splashdowns that the intrepid was responsible for picking up these astronauts. He said there was a small technical problem. What was a small technical problem? There was a 2-second glitch in the computer. It was a 2-second mistake between the computer that was dropping the astronauts down and the intrepid's computer, whatever it was. So 2 seconds. So the astronauts were 2 seconds off from where they were supposed to be. That was all. 2 seconds off. 2 seconds off? How far can you swim in 2 seconds? So there was a difference of 200 miles. They were 200 miles away from where they're supposed to land. Here they come splashing into the Pacific Ocean. There's no boat. There's nobody there. These guys, they're dropping in the Philippines. They're in Hawaii. They're 200 miles away. So he said, what's pshat? So he said, the pshat is that they were going so fast that even 1 second is already 100 miles. 2 seconds, 200 miles. 200 mile difference based on 1 second. That's what he said. That's good. Chomel drush. So I was thinking about that a little bit. I said, what's the pshat? The pshat is like this. If a guy's walking slowly, meandering around, not doing anything important, what's the difference? You're a second late, you're a second early, what's the difference? That'll make a difference. If you're going at such high speed, you're accomplishing so much, and you're off by a second, I said, the difference could be disaster. It's a difference of 100 miles, 1 second. Now I'm stopping the rockets, we're in fast, with 10,000 mile difference, 1 second. I said, the Yontif of Pesach, the Yontif of Pesach celebrates the significance of Zman, teaches you more than any other yontif where every second counts. I said, you're baking matzahs, you're 1 second before 18 minutes, the matzah kosh lechatchilu could be able to mitzvah derayis b'raftuch lematzahs. 1 second later, you have karis, possibly feeding them. 1 second, that's all. When you're doing something of such significance, every moment counts. When it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, so Sfiras HaOmer is a celebration of Zman. Sfiras HaOmer tells you every day counts. Not literally, every day counts. When you have so much potential, you can accomplish so much. So it's such a baltashkes to waste. Every day of sphere that's wasted, every minute of sphere, every second of sphere that's wasted. So for a guy's not such a big mentor, he's not doing too much in his life anyway. So my life can be nice. Left another minute, another 2 minutes. We missed a few minutes this year, missed a few hours of seder. Doesn't make a difference. But a guy, Baruch Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu, gave us the opportunity to accomplish so much in the time we have in this world. So every second you could be off by 100 miles. That was the first piece of Musa that I got from my tour guide. I don't think that was his kavanah when he said it, but that was my kavanah. But now I'll tell you the longer drush. Now I'll tell you the second part that really, really moved me. So I'm standing there in the Intrepid, looking around, you know, watching pictures of Pearl Harbor and watching, you know, Intrepid. Those who don't know, the Intrepid was an aircraft carrier in the Pacific during World War II. I think, okay, yeah, nice, interesting, you know, American history is important, okay, good. I said, well, what am I doing here on Cholamoy Pesach besides entertaining my kids? Also something, Samach B'Tav Pesach. That's also the biggest simple thing to take your kids on a trip is if your wife doesn't come, not that simple for me, it's simple for her that she gets the whole day off, but it's a different story. So I'm being yoyter in mitzvah derayis of a Samach B'Tav Pesach. What am I doing here on Cholamoy Pesach? What can I learn from the Intrepid? So Shabbos Cholamoy, so we lay in the parasha where Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, already knows Kvedecha. I want to understand your Rabbanishma. I want to understand what's going on in the world. Already knows Kvedecha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't really understand everything. I'll give you a little bit of glimpse here and there. I can't understand everything. You can see my back. I can't show you my foot. So many of the Gemara comments on this, and Chazal speak about this, and the Sefer Drush speak about this. For Isa's a chayefon el lo yiro. So one can suggest, I'm going to talk about this, Mamash Esfasema says exactly this, that Isa's a chayefon el yiro is referring to the fact, when you try to understand how Kadosh Baruch Hu is running this world, you run into a big problem. It's very, very hard. A lot of people have a lot of kashas on the Rebbeinu Shem. They can't figure out what's going on. So the Gemara really highlights this in the first Pekah Brachas. This was Moshe Rabbeinu's question, Tzadik Rala V'Rosh V'Tavloi. So this is true about everything, not just that particular Nakuda. It's true about everything. I don't understand history. I don't understand how the Rebbeinu Shem is running things, how things make any sense in this world. So many kashas, so many pellets. So the Rebbeinu Shem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, V'Isa Zachayim, after it's over, you'll understand. You have to wait a little bit. When you look at it from behind, makes a lot of sense. To try to figure it out from the front as it's happening, forget it. No human being can ever figure out the Chokhmah HaKadosh Baruch Hu as it's taking place. If it's over, then I said, Marshal Badavadom, Lahadlof Abdullah, the famous Monday morning quarterback. So you go over the plays on Monday morning and you realize, oh, so that's what went wrong. Oh, that's what went right. That's what we should have done. Makes a lot of, how come I didn't figure that out? The answer is because it's Monday morning. If that's Sunday morning, it would have been Sunday morning, you would have won the Super Bowl. So ufanele yiro, it's very, very hard when things are so complicated. As it's happening, it's very hard to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. So I think to myself, as I'm standing on the Intrepid and the guys are ranting and raving about the war in the Pacific Ocean, I think to myself, if you had a pinpoint, a moment in Jewish history, point what you think was perhaps the darkest moment ever in the existence of Klal Yisrael. I would pick a day on the calendar. Some people would probably think, what? What's he talking about? You know what they would pick as probably the darkest moment in Klal Yisrael's history? December 6th, 1941. So some of you are probably wondering, the rabbi doesn't know history. December 6th, what happened on December 6th? That's exactly what happened on December 6th. It was the day before December 7th. What was the significance of December 6th? If anybody would have looked at the map of Europe on December 6th and look at the situation of Klal Yisrael, they would have logically came up with the conclusion there will not be a Jewish people anymore. There's no hope. On all fronts, there's no hope. There's no hope. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam, are the edge of the English Channel on one end. The Nazis are halfway to Moscow on the other end. They have conquered all of North Africa. They're 70 miles away from the Suez Canal. The whole Yishuv is about to go up in flames. There's nothing. There's half a dozen Jews in America. A couple of who knows what's going to happen in America? We know what if Europe would have been conquered, we know what the next stop was. There was no hope. Lefid derech hateva, there was no hope. There was no hope. There was no force in the world that was fighting at the time that was in a half a minute, shem a half a minute, that could have won the war. It was the darkest moment for Klal Yisrael, December 6th. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu do? You move 10,000 miles away from the heart of Europe, where the fight is really happening. The middle of the Pacific Ocean. You can't get further away from that. How much? 10,000 miles away. What happens? You have a bunch of interesting people decide they get a mishigas in the head. They want to rule the Pacific Ocean. That's their rule. That's what they want to take over the entire, take over China, take over Australia, take over the Philippines, take over the whole Pacific Ocean. What does that have to do with Klal Yisrael? Nothing. Nothing. They never saw Jews in their life. Nothing. They have no shaykhs to Klal Yisrael. The war in the Pacific had absolutely no shaykhs cues after what was going on in Europe. Anyone who tells you anything about world history will realize that. Nothing. There's no connection to use it. They want to conquer the Pacific Ocean, but they realize that you can't do that because there's a country called the United States that also has a share in the Pacific Ocean, and they're a little bit bigger than you. So you gotta best defense is good offense. You gotta knock them out of the box early. So a few Mishagoyim decide that we're gonna attack Pearl Harbor, December 7th. Sure, that was the plan. What was the Ishtalshus Nadvarim? Anyone knows any history? What happened in the next 2 days? No, December 8th? No, Pekias, come on. Declaration of War. Roosevelt declares war on Japan. Japan declares war. I already declared war. Am I doing that? Germany was an ally. Why were they allies of Japan? My Indians, Japanese, they're Nazis. Nothing. They had nothing to do with each other. So comes Germany and declares war on the United States, and by December 9th, the United States had already declared war on Germany, and that was the new world. That had developed in those 48 hours. What developed was the beginning of the fact that all of us are sitting here today. Mi yodea, what would have happened? One can't even begin to discuss lefi derech hateva, what would happen if those events in the Pacific Ocean wouldn't have taken place. What would have happened to the Yishuv? What would have happened to Klai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael? Whatever Sheres HaPleita wouldn't have existed in Europe. And me and them would have happened to America. Lu Yitzu, that wouldn't have happened. So here at Kodesh Baruch Hu, 10,000 miles away, is planting the seeds for the Haloza Ud Mutzal Me'esh, plucking the little mashu out of the Chorban. And Kodesh Baruch Hu did it in such a way, nobody, if you would have told somebody on December 6th, 1941, that the Yeshua is going to come from Pearl Harbor. Is it Pearl Harbor? Is it Pearl Harbor? Never heard of Pearl Harbor. I guarantee you, not one Jew who's living in Europe ever heard of Pearl Harbor. Most people who lived in America never heard of Pearl Harbor. You would have told Klal Yisrael at that time, that's where the Yeshua is going to come. They would have laughed you in the face. And yeah, what did Kodesh Baruch Hu do? For Isa Sacharif, and I lay it wrong. All of a sudden, a few years later, wait a second. That was the beginning of the Yeshua. That was the only, that's what brought about. That was the Lidera Chateva, the Rebbeinu Shlom brought America into the war in order to ultimately, in the end, defeat the Nazis. That was it. Ra'isa Sachar Fana Le'erol. So I was thinking about this. I'm standing on the deck of the Intrepid. So I think to myself, the Intrepid is very nice. It was in World War II. What does that have to do with us? What does that have to do with Klal Yisrael? And then it dawned on me. It has everything to do with Klal Yisrael. I said, this was the boat. This was it. This is the aircraft carrier, one of the aircraft carriers in the Pacific Ocean. This was the kli that the Rebbeinu Shlom used to defeat the Japanese, the allies of the Nazis, which ultimately brought down the whole Axis. This was a Kadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbonus. Never in a million years would anybody have figured this out on December 6, 1941, for Isa Sachar Fana Leiro. That was a little bit of what I was thinking. But I'll tell you the Machmir Patish of this. Don't believe this. Mamish, a lot of Hashkacha brought this in the world. So, who here saw the Purim video? Remember when I showed you guys the Purim video? Remember the theme song? Who remembers the theme of it? Hisha Amda, right? So we've been singing that song in the house a lot. So, on Chol HaMoed, first day Chol HaMoed, I'm standing on the deck of the Intrepid. There was the Yisrael Williger concert on the deck of the Intrepid. Okay? I kid you not. There was the Yisrael Williger concert on the deck of the Intrepid. I see myself, the sailors in the Intrepid would have ever known that there would be hundreds of Hasidim dancing around. I don't know, they would have jumped probably off the deck first. But, Kachav. So I walk over the middle of the concert. I walk over. And what song is he singing? Hisha Amda L'Abisein of Alonu. His mom is singing that song. So I started to break out in goosebumps. I said, Hisha Amda L'Abisein of Alonu. I said, it's Mamish. That Kodesh Baruch Hu Matzil Leinu Miyodim. That we don't know how Kodesh Baruch Hu Matzil Leinu Miyodim. This was the Siman Hashem. This is how Kodesh Baruch Hu Matzil Leinu Miyodim. And then I was standing there listening, and I started to tear, listening. Then somebody came over to me, with someone who I know from California, with parents, and his parents are survivors. His parents were there, standing with their grandchildren, and standing on the deck of the Intrepid at Chol HaMoed Pesach, listening to a concert. So it was hard to hold back the tears. I said, just look at the picture. It's Chol HaMoed Pesach. Klal Yisrael, decked out on their best, walking around with their matzahs, singing the Hisha Amda L'Abiseinu on the deck of the Intrepid that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had put into place 70 years earlier to bring about the downfall of Nazism and the allies. Not for Isa Zachayre. Lo Yuman. It's made for a good Russian Shabbos morning. But for Isa Zachayre. So sometimes we have to, not sometimes, all the time, not just in terms of Klal Yisrael events, but in our own lives also. But sometimes we get so focused on the moment, sometimes we get so rangatun in what's going on now, that we lose sight of the fact that we only have a very, very small part of the picture. Sometimes it takes a few years, sometimes in this case, it took 70 years. Me idea, if that's when the Rebbeinu Shalom, you know, the Cheshbon was, when that Intrepid first sent sail for the Pacific Ocean, the Rebbeinu Shalom knew that in 70 years from now, there's going to be Jews who are going to be singing V'hisha Amda L'Abiseinu on that Intrepid and getting chizuk from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzil Leinu Miyodim. So hopefully we should be zeichah. His brother should watch over Christ, should watch over us later.